you may not have known. But St. Luke, who wrote that story in the Gospel, St. Luke was a physician. And it's understandable that having seen that event in the temple with the crippled woman being healed by Jesus, Luke, the doctor, would have included that in his record in the Gospel. He is the only one of the Gospel writers who does include it. In only three verses, he says, there was this woman who was bent over, seriously bent over. Maybe it was a calcium deficiency. Maybe it was a severe case of osteoporosis. We're not told. We're not told what her name was. We do not know anything about her family background. We know that she does have this condition. For 18 years, she was bent over and her eyes were always focused on the ground. She missed the sunsets. She missed the birds flying through the air. She missed the occasional rainbow across the heavens. A physical ailment can do far more than bend the back. It can rob a person of so much life as we know it. In 1971, in Plano, Texas, a little town, a woman by the name of Linda gave birth to a baby boy whom she named Lance. Lance Armstrong, Lance Edward Armstrong. She did what many mothers do with their kids. She molded his life by involving him in sports. He soon showed a strong ability as a young athlete, and by the age of 13, his skills were confirmed when he won the kids' triathlon. 3 years later, as a 16-year-old, he became a professional triathlete athlete. When most teenagers were still competing in high school sports, Lance Armstrong, Linda's son, was already earning money as an athlete. He worked hard, and sometimes his training on the bicycle would take him to the edge of Oklahoma, where he was born and where he was growing up, to the border with Texas. And from there he would call his mom. And he would tell her, "Mom, I've gotten too far again on my bicycle, and the sun is setting in the west." He would say, "Can you come and get me, please?" And off she would go in the car to pick him up as evening became night in the western sky. At the age of 18, Lance Edward Armstrong qualified for the United States Olympic team. He continued to excel as a cyclist, gaining recognition across the world. And then it happened. And then it happened. News which brought his career to a climactic halt. In 1996, in the middle of a cycling race, excruciating pain shot through Lance Armstrong's back and forced him to quit the race. Tests quickly revealed advanced cancer in his body that had already spread to his lungs and his brain. That once promising athlete, vibrant young man, underwent three operations and began a series of tough chemotherapy. Now his career was the least of his concerns. Doctors said to him, "Young man, you have a 50-50 chance to beat this. He said his sickness completely changed his life and his priorities. Sickness, as some of you know, real sickness can really alter a person's life. Remember that scene in the gospel this morning? Jesus has been invited to come up and speak in the synagogue. And there was the leader of the synagogue sitting right off to the side of where Jesus stood. And there were all the people packing the synagogue that morning, because for days they had gotten word that that young man from Nazareth, the great teacher, was coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And that's the scene that happens in this morning's gospel. The stage is set, and among all the people there in the synagogue, St. Luke says in his gospel, there was this crippled woman sitting three quarters of the way to the rear. They frequently saw her, and they frequently referred to her as the cripple. Luke doesn't even tell us her name, just the cripple. She doesn't wave her arms to get Jesus' attention. The gospel tells us that when Jesus saw her, he said to her, "Come up here to me." And he reached out to her, and he put both of his hands on her. And then he said to her, "All right, stand up straight." And when the power of Almighty God flowed through his fingers into her body, she was healed. And she stood up straight. And Jesus did that in just a few seconds. The gospel says the leader of the temple and the other one sitting in seats of honor, the leader of the temple, was furious that Jesus would do something like that, work on the Sabbath. Doesn't he know the rules? But that was classic Jesus behavior. Lifting up someone who needed him, while ignoring the critics. Perhaps when we notice the person among us who is stooped down a bit, burdened, we might, in our own way, try to take on a little of that burden without even wondering for a moment if that person deserves our help, is worthy of our help. I have a feeling that when this woman looked up for the first time in 18 years and saw the face of Jesus, and saw that beautifully decorated ceiling of the temple, there was a good chance that all she could do was praise God, maybe with the words from that 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." She recognized immediately who was responsible for her healing. And there was no other response she could make but praise. Years ago, I happened to watch the final day of the Tour de France. It was on TV, it was exciting. And as I watched that race, I remember thinking, for some reason, I connected with this crippled woman who came into the temple that morning. Remember my story earlier about Linda's son, Lance Edward Armstrong, the cyclist who contracted cancer? Well, for 7 consecutive years after dealing with that, he won the Tour de France. It's a grueling 4-week race, 2,000 miles through the French mountains and towns and countryside. And it was won by a young man from Plano, Texas, who nearly lost his life to cancer. How do you ever come back from those kind of odds and win? Well, I want to tell you how I think you do it. You surround yourself by people who take pleasure in your well-being. It happens because you have a mother like Linda and a partner and children who love you. It happens because you have coaches and friends who are interested in your well-being. They don't pick you apart for every little mistake you may make. They care about you, and they encourage you, and they support you. And a little miracle of healing from Jesus doesn't hurt. She was only able to stare at the ground, only able to look down at her own feet, never able to look into another person's eyes. And then the crippled woman is touched by Jesus, and her whole life changes. She experiences the grace and the mercy of a loving God. Life can change dramatically when you're open to the love of God in your life. That's what Jesus wanted the leaders of the temple to understand. That when you see people like Jesus sees them, you live your life very differently. If all of us together here at Epiphany Church would see each other and others who come among us here and others who come meeting us, especially during the week, if all of us were to see each other and other people as Jesus sees people, we would try to be a church where Jesus and his love matter more than any traditions or long-held ideas, like not healing on the Sabbath. And people who come here needing us or just checking us out will discover that this outpost of the kingdom of God, known as Epiphany Church, is different. They need to see that, like Jesus, we might even help them on the Sabbath. We must never count people out. If they are sick, we need to try to help them. If they're down on their luck, is there something we can do to assist them? If they have a burden, we ought to try to find out how we might help relieve that burden. If they feel that they have failed, we need to try to encourage them. There's no way that the leader of the synagogue could have healed that crippled woman's back. But the very least he could have done was show her some respect and provide her some dignity and not criticize Jesus for working on the Sabbath. That, I think, is the lesson that this gospel wants us to learn. We cannot all be healers, but we can treat one another and others as people who are worthy in the eyes of God. We're a church, a group of people here who are already doing that pretty well. And I pray that we continue to work at that and to continue to make this outpost of God's kingdom a place where people feel welcome. Amen.